catch you on the Armstrong Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Bravo.
Thank you to all of our patrons for your continued support of the show. We truly appreciate it. And if you're a listener who's not a patron, please become a patron. It keeps the show going, and it keeps allowing us to do great community service projects in our communities and yours. If you are an alumni of Independence Training, please don't forget about signing up for the Alumni Forum on the website, trainingaz.com. Go right to the forum, jump on there, enroll. Amazing, awesome conversations going on in there. Please make that happen. And for those of you guys participating in the forum and maybe the Otter meme page, still looking for some good artwork. I have had a couple of submissions, nothing I want to really make into a fucking sticker. I've got, you know, one guy working on something that might be pretty good, but still open to submissions. So, yeah, the good old, there's an honor behind you. It's possible. Hey, by the way, I do want to mention, I think I sent it to both of you. Did I send you guys the Otter gang fight?
Yes, I got it.
Did I send you the Otter gang fight? Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's why there's a fucking otter behind you.
Yes. Because
gangs of otters swimming towards each other a la, you know,
West
Side Story. Thank you. West Side Story coming straight towards each other, man, in
they
the water.
Dancing.
And you're like, oh my God, what are they going to do? And when they clash, it was like the fucking movie Gladiator. Like these otters just clash in the water, and there's just otters flying and fur flying.
Limbs
like,
and fur and teeth.
Maybe I understand more by the grace of God how that lady survived. Amazing. All right, Combatus Corner with Dave. Funny. Go ahead.
So the importance of contact, and to be specific in context, what I'm talking about is when you're training, the right kind of contact. Because we're training for combatives, that means there's a chance someone's going to be swinging on you, putting your hands on you, whatever, so that contact is important. What I mean and what I want to get across to you today is when you make contact, it needs to be with, in my opinion, 100% intense. Right. We talked about this last week on the show in more depth, but it needs to be that 100% intensity. Power can change, but the intensity needs to be there. And so what I'm talking about, for example, you're practicing chokes. Well, you don't want to be half intense on chokes because that's not a real choke. That's not how it really happens. So as I go to choke someone, I want to choke them as though I am the violent person who's going to be doing this in real life. Now, how much power I put in that choke can vary. And when I, you know, like what I do after that, all that can vary. But the point is I need to let them know what it feels like to get choked. If it's a hair pull, I need to know I need them to know what it's going to feel like when they get their hair really pulled, not just, hey, let's pull a little ponytail. And so if it's a bear hug, right, I need to squeeze the air out of them. I need to pick them up like I'm going to drop on their head. Whatever that is for you, whatever you're working on, when you do that, it needs to be that level of intensity that they're going to experience in real life. So make sure that's part of your training.
All right. Combatives Corner with Dave, brought to you by Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale and Premier Martial Arts Peoria. Oh, man. One of my news stories we kind of skipped over last week just because we were already talking a lot about other stuff. But the governor of New Mexico banning CCW for 30 days. Look, you could read so much into this story, but, I mean, here's basically what happened, right? So this fucking nutty governor out of New Mexico declares gun violence a public health crisis and uses COVID emergency powers to ban CCWs for a month. This is treasonous shit. This chick should be removed from office. And no, I don't think it's disrespectful to call a shitty governor a chick. She should be fucking removed from office. Maybe worse. Maybe charged with some crimes. She should be charged with every crime that could not be prevented because she decided to ban CCWs. Now, of course, I'm sure her tax-funded team of bodyguards will still be carrying firearms. I'm sure she'll still have firearms. I'm sure all the government officials will still have firearms. But all the lowly plebes, the rules for thee and not for me, just fucking apply here again.
As she's making the statement at the podium, there's security around her.
Yeah.
Armed security.
Yeah.
And here's the stupidity of what she said. Because she said, she admitted, if you watch the video in full, she admitted, this is not going to stop the criminals, but I feel like it's just going to make everything safer. So she literally says, this is going to have no effect on crime. So without saying it, she's either showing her complete idiocy, that I just don't understand how life works.
This is her being puppeted, in my opinion.
Yeah. Or she's truly got a second agenda that she's not telling you.
Yeah, she's being puppeted. So consider this. First of all, if you're a cop who enforces this law, you're a piece of shit. 100%. You are an unconstitutional, jackboot thug piece of shit. And you should also be held for fucking treason. And you should be charged with crimes as well.
And it's not a law. They can't enforce it. It's
but just they're going to fucking do it. Thanks to COVID emergency powers.
Well, that's also assuming that the Second Amendment is a right given to us by the government, which it isn't.
It isn't.
So are they reinforcing COVID then?
No, they're not reinforcing COVID yet, but because some organ, like the government's still working under COVID emergency powers. Here's the thing. All of this shit is shit we allow to happen. The New Mexico people are allowing this to happen. They're allowing it.
I didn't vote.
You know what? You're allowing this to happen. Yeah. And so if you're in New Mexico, you should be more fired up than we are about it.
They are protesting.
And you that's it?
That's a start.
Oh, you think they give a fuck what you say? You think they fucking care? You got to do more than that. You just fucking have to. This is against both the New Mexico Constitution and the United States Constitution and the Supreme Court decision on the Bruin case. This is literally against all of it.
Yeah.
A governor in a state is doing whatever the fuck she's decided to do with against the will of the people.
Yeah. Did you see even where, like, you know that kid David Hogue? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He came out and called her an idiot.
Yeah.
So you know you're screwing up.
Yeah.
When a liberal like that is calling you
out. That kid's a fucking tool. And yeah. If he's calling you an idiot.
I thought that was pretty funny. I can't imagine anybody's taking her seriously. I wouldn't. I would keep carrying concealed.
Yeah.
That's my right. So.
Well, look, this is what we talked about in last week's show. People are like, well, I don't want to do anything about it because then I'll lose all my rights at once. Oh, okay. So you just want to lose them slowly one at a time? This is exactly what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
So, okay. Just lose them slowly one at a time then. Instead of losing them all at once.
And nothing will be done to this governor.
No.
She'll get away with this.
Nope. Vice chair of Democratic Party in Minnesota who advocated to dismantle police gets violently beaten during a carjacking.
I shouldn't be laughing, but...
No, it's worth laughing about, man. Literally fucking worth laughing about.
Oh, wow.
The vice chair of Minnesota Democrat Party, who advocated for dismantling police, gets violently beaten and carjacked. A far-left Minneapolis activist was the victim of a brutal armed carjacking that occurred in the driveway of her home. She's the second vice chairwoman of the Democrat Farmer Labor Party in Minneapolis, was left bruised and bloody during the incident. She's calling for accountability despite her past history of being notable defund the police agitator. It's like you can't make this fucking shit up.
No, this is...
These people are literally verifiably fucking insane. These people are unbelievable narcissists. They're uncontrollable fucking like antisocial behaviors. This is out of fucking control.
It's 100%.
You are defunding the police. Yeah. So guess what, bitch? You're on your own. You find him. You hunt him down. You do something. Guarantee the first thing she did was fucking call 911.
Yep.
After she was the head of the fucking defund the police issue. She fucking called 911.
It seems like it's a direct correlation to running everything off of emotion.
It's like exactly what they do.
There's no right or wrong anymore. It's just like, I feel this way, so that's what I'm going to promote. That's what I'm going to do.
No one's going to stop him from doing it.
Yeah.
So they're just going to keep fucking doing it. Chicago Teachers Union president, hater of private schools and school choice, sends their children to private school. Stacey Davis Gates is undoubtedly Illinois' most prominent and rabid opponent of school choice, and pretty much everybody and everything associated with it, all of which she labels racist or worse. As president of the Chicago Teachers Union...
Is she black?
I don't know, actually.
I bet she's.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I figured.
She is at the forefront of his campaign to kill Illinois' meager Invest in Kids Act, which currently gives about 9,000 disadvantaged kids scholarships to attend private schools. She's at the forefront of the campaign to kill that, that gives 9,000 disadvantaged kids scholarships to attend private schools. It must be game over for the program, she says. And then, shocker, she sends one of her kids to Chicago's De La Salle Institute, a private Catholic high school. This is, again, rules for thee and not for me. And if we continue to do nothing about it, we fucking deserve everything we get. That's just all there is to it.
Yep.
We fucking deserve this because we continue to do nothing to stop it.
Yeah. Because the cost of that is inherently greater.
Because the cost of that might be penalties now instead of slow penalties over time, which are more easily stomachable, and or penalties later for your children down the road. I was talking to one of my older clients the other day, and he was saying – he was really old, like probably like, I don't know, like 57,
wow, 58. Bro.
I'm just kidding. Yo. Relax, relax. this guy's like in his – he's in his late 70s. And we were talking. He's an older guy. He's been around the world, right? I mean, he's seen a lot of shit. And I was talking to him about just like, you know, this concept. Like, what do we do, right? And he was kind of like, man. He goes, when I was a younger old guy, I used to think, eh, I'm probably not going to be around for it anyway, so who really cares? He's like, and then I was having a conversation with someone a few weeks ago and or a few months ago. I mean, he goes, and it really brought it to mind. He's like, I never had kids. The guy's childless, you know? And he's like, I never had kids, married a couple times, didn't really work out. He's like, then I realized because I don't have kids, I don't have a perspective that someone like you has where you're like literally looking at it going, if I don't solve this, I put it squarely in the laps of my children.
Yeah. Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And so he's like, I am now thinking differently and I want to solve. He's like, unfortunately, I'm too old to physically do anything. But he's like, but
pull a trigger, bro.
Exactly. He's like, I got some expendable income and I'm still upright mobile. So there's still some things I can accomplish. But the point being is, like, if you don't take care of it now, if you have that mentality, well, I don't really care. I don't have kids or I don't, you know, whatever. I'll probably be dead by then anyway. You're just part of the fucking problem.
Yeah.
It's coming to a boiling point. Where either something's going to happen or nothing's going to happen or we're going to lose it all. And it's going to take over our lives with digital currency and microchips and everything else, which is their ultimate plan. And if you don't think it is, you're a fucking moron because you're not paying attention.
Yeah, it's coming.
Their ultimate plan is total fucking
control.
New
world order, one world government.
Total fucking control.
It's all coming.
And you won't be able to fight back against it. You won't be able to resist. There will be no resisting.
Well, yeah, your family will starve. You won't be able to do commerce.
They'll just cut off all your shit. They'll just cut off all your life. They'll cut it all off. They'll cut off your power. They'll cut off your water. They'll cut off your money. They'll take your money out of your bank account. They'll stop your bank. They'll delete all your shit. That's why they've convinced you to not use cash anymore.
Yeah.
There's literally places that don't even take cash anymore.
Yeah.
Who the fuck doesn't take American currency in America?
Yeah.
Oh, you only take digital American currency. Got it.
Because the government has proved it to be – or used it in such a horrible way.
They've made it worthless.
That it's worthless now.
So they can control it even more.
There's a lot of sighing going on.
Good news for Dave. Good news for Dave. Experts find out why exercise prevents Alzheimer's disease, which could potentially lead to a cure. The reason exercise can prevent Alzheimer's disease has been discovered, and it could lead to new treatments for the currently incurable condition. Experts have found that a hormone called irisin, I might be pronouncing that wrong, released during a workout is associated with the plaques and tangles in the brain thought to cause Alzheimer's. Physical exercise has been shown to reduce, oh my God, lots of medical things, in various mouse models, but the mechanisms involved have remained a mystery. Now the team from Massachusetts General Hospital have published the results in the journal Neuron, which appear to solve the puzzle. Previously, the researchers had developed blah, 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 blah. It was known that exercise increases circulating levels of the musical muscle-derived hormone, which regulates glucose and lipid metabolism in fat tissue and increases energy expenditure by accelerating the browning of white fat tissue. So it's reduced in those suffering from Alzheimer's. So they're just kind of relating this to, hey, if you exercise more, there's a possibility here that this might help prevent.
How many more reasons do you need, people?
I will tell everybody that Alzheimer's is – there's two things that terrify me, being physically crippled and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, mentally crippled.
I don't want to be fucking crazy. I'm crazy enough without actually being crazy.
Yeah, we would have to take your guns.
Just put me in the fucking woods, man. Just put me in the fucking woods and let the critters have me, dude. Smear me in fucking peanut butter and honey and send me into the Tetons and let's just call it a fucking day. Oh, my God. That shit's terrifying. All right. Independence training gear moment. Oh, real quick. So we've changed the moments in the show. All right, so we've got Combatives Corner with Dave in the beginning. Used to be Red Wire Gear Moment, now going to be Independence Training Gear Moment. All right, so we're taking that point over. And at the end, instead of doing the Independence Training Moment and talking about preparedness and stuff like that, we're going to have a fitness moment. It's in line with the story we just had and in line with what we talk about all the time on the show, which is combatives and equipment and fitness. So each one of us kind of taking one of these moments. This is something to focus on a little bit more. And stay more in line with what we want to talk about on the show. So Independence Training Gear Moment for this week. Carry as many items as possible that can be taken anywhere with you. I find a lot of people are very reliant on that one tool, usually a handgun or something like that. And they're like, oh, well, I can't go here. Or when I dress this way, I can't carry. I see a lot of ladies doing it. When I dress this way, I can't carry that gun. Well, when I go here, I can't carry that. Well, when I travel like this, I can't carry it. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. But take as many other things with you that you can go everywhere. I fly all the time. I go in and out of secured areas. I'm in and out of places with metal detectors and everything else. And there is a variety of tools that I can take with me. Now, not the least of which is a good flashlight, a med kit, consider a plastic blade, things like Kubotons, learn how to use them. These are all tools that I can go everywhere with me. You know, a good, solid, sturdy belt wrapped up around your hand can get a lot of fucking work done. So there's a lot of things that you can do with basic tools that you're allowed to carry everywhere that aren't going to be taken from you. So really look at your EDC and say, what can I take with me everywhere? That way you have at least some tools for offense, defense, and maybe, you know, fixing yourself up that can be taken everywhere you go. Independence Training Gear Moment brought to you by TrainingAZ.com. All right, our topic for this week. Why you need a shotgun? And it's not to fire two blasts into the air. Now, we've talked about shotguns on the show before many times, but I believe it's a good time to talk about them again because there are just not enough people who love the shotgun.
There aren't.
And I want more people to love the shotgun. And every time we teach a shotgun class, like we taught one a few weeks ago, every single time we teach a shotgun class, it blows people's minds. The shotgun is, everyone's just like, it's real simple, babe. Just put fuck shot in there, fucking aim at the door, kablam, it blows goddamn arm off. No. No, you won't. That's not how it works at all.
In the movies.
Yeah, fly backwards, flip overhead, explodes, whatever. No. There's different types of shot. There's different sizes of shot. There's different types of chokes. There's different types of rounds. There's different lengths of guns, there's different action types. Even within the action types, there's different releases for pumps. There's different mechanical and automatic releases on semi-autos. There's different systems. Like, there's so much to it. And you can still add lights and optics and everything else. And, like, you can keep it super simple and have a pump action with a bead, or you can go crazy nutty and have a semi-auto shotgun with a freaking bright light and a red dot optic on it. Like, there's so much that you can do with the shotgun. And as soon as we start getting into it in the shotgun class, everyone's just like, oh, my God, you know, and it's heavy and there's tons of rounds and you can select rounds in and out because, of course, they're, you know, fed one shell at a time, except for the magazine fed shotguns, which pretty much universally suck. And so it's important to look at the shotgun as a complete system. So to get rid of some myths with shotguns, no, they don't have this giant room filling pattern. With good buckshot and even an open cylinder barrel, I mean, go out and pattern your shotgun if you don't believe us. We have tons of videos and photos on our Instagram about it, and we teach everyone in class. We're always blowing minds when people can make a headshot at 7 yards, you know, on a standard torso target with 9-pellet double-aught buck. Most everybody's making all 9 pellets on that head at 7 yards. Okay, well, most of your room distances are going to be closer than that inside your home. Most people consider the shotgun as a home defense tool. Most people do not go, oh, my God, let's say the bad guy is in your kid's room. And they're like, oh, shit, all I have is a shotgun. I'm, like, going to kill everyone in here. No, you're fucking not. You can make an accurate, almost bullet-type shot at this point, depending on the type of buck shot. Like, my favorite, Federal Flight Control, you know, 9-pellet double-up buck, hands down, my favorite, you know, buckshot round. Out of my basic pump shotgun, I'm making half dollar size groups at 10 fucking yards.
Basically slug size holes.
Essentially.
With buckshot.
and for some people, that's what they're like, well, I want more of a spread. Awesome. Go get the buckshot that does that.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to find out what that is. Same thing that happens with slugs. We load people up with slugs at 50 yards. And we're like, okay, now hit that torso. Some people flat out fucking miss it. And it's not because they're shooting poorly. Mm-hmm. It's because their point of aim, point of impact with that slug isn't hitting it. And then we have them switch different slugs and bounce around different brands, different types. And all of a sudden they're on the target. It's like, wow, I didn't know it was going to have that big of an impact.
Yeah.
It's a fucking huge impact.
And the energy behind that slug is like nothing we can carry in any other form of weapon system.
It's an insane amount. It's an ounce of lead, which for reference is 440 grains, basically.
It like
tremendous amount
trembles the steel. I mean, sometimes it even knocks it over at 25 yards. It's insane.
Shotgun classes do destroy our targets like nothing else does.
Yeah.
We cut targets in half. We
sticks are gone.
Destroy sticks. Because one miss.
Even the 2x4s that hold the steel up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it just cuts the 2x4s in half. It's like one miss with buckshot on a paper target. Someone gets a slight angle off and, hits the guy in the shoulder and manages to catch some sticks. Just blows a fucking stick in half. You do it when a 9mm over 223, a little piece of wood flies off. We all laugh and poke fun at you, and then that's about it. You do that with a shotgun, you fucking destroy shit.
Yeah.
Like that shit's trash now. Our cardboard targets, we go through so many targets in a shotgun class.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're just you just can't keep them together.
Yeah.
You can shoot one target all damn day in a handgun and carbine class.
Yep.
Shotgun class, a couple exercises and we're replacing the target.
Yeah.
It's just – there is so much, but you got to understand what these shot sizes and shells are doing.
And that's – as a student years and years ago with this, that was one of the things that blew my mind because I had no idea the versatility of this weapon system more than anything. And like even in the class that we taught, almost nobody had the same shotgun. They were all set up differently. Some were pumps, some were semis. One guy was running, what was his, 18-inch barrel to others that were like 26-inch. I mean, it was just all varieties of – and every one of them, how you contextually can use them is different. How they were choked, were they semis, were they not – the different sighting systems start to realize like, wow, this is as versatile as an AR, but in a different way. This is all almost ammo based, whereas an AR isn't ammo based as much as it is modular in the design of the weapon system. This one, you have both. You have weapon system design and you have ammo that literally you could, I mean, I don't swap an AR, a 5.56 with a different 5.56 in the middle of my shooting pattern, whereas I would totally do that in the shotgun situation, being able to pop a slug in there or, something, for a little bit more power, a little more for distance, which I think is incredibly versatile when you look at the other weapon systems you have a choice of.
And, we could spend the whole show just talking about all the different shot sizes and shot types. And that's another thing that blows people's minds. We start talking about, we haven't even talked about DRAM. Just wait till we get into that. We're talking about shell length and shell type and all the different options that are out there. And people are like, oh, my God, I had no fucking idea. And you're like, we had a trap shooter in class, in the last class. And he was just like, holy shit, I did not know my shotgun could do this. And it's like, yeah, man, this is fucking cool, right? And so the point being is, when you look at the different types of shell capabilities, I think the shotguns, not only should it be in everybody's safe, but it should be one of your main go-to guns. Because, let's just say you're out in the field for whatever reasons. Like I can go birdshot and shoot small game or have fun and shoot recreational stuff. I can go buckshot and shoot bipeds as well as larger game out to better distances with more oomph. I can go slugs. Now I really extend my distance and my energy. And for any variety of reasons, whether that's self-defense, hitting a target far away, killing a bigger game animal, punching through barriers. I mean, we do vehicle defense classes. I always bring a shotgun with some slugs. And people are like shooting the gun with their – or shooting the vehicle with whatever gun they brought, the AR, 9mm.
Even 308s.
They're bringing their 7.62s. They're like, wow, that's not really a lot of damage. And you're like, okay. Let me show you this fucking shit. And then you pull a slug out with a shotgun, it punches through one fucking car door and ends up in the opposite car door. And they're like, holy shit, blows tires right off the fucking rim. In some cases, it'll shoot end to end. Then we'll shoot it through the windshield, punches through the driver's seat, punches through the fucking passenger seat, blows out the fucking trunk. And everyone's like, oh my God. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're always going to want a round that does that, but I'm saying if you want a round that disables shit, we've shot engines with them. It's like, dude. Whatever it comes in contact with, that slug is fucking it up.
Yeah.
And that may or may not be what you want, but the point being is that's one gun. I ain't even changing anything about the gun.
Yeah, you can create it to be what you want.
That's just a standard 18-inch open cylinder gun that I can do amazing things with. Now I can start adding optics and lights. I could change the barrel in like a minute is all it takes to change a barrel on most shotguns. I can change the chokes if I have interchangeable chokes, and now I can extend or, you know, increase the size of my pattern or decrease the size of my pattern based on the range I'm going to be shooting at. It's like there's so much that I can do with the gun. And it's also important to look at different action types and different sizes. I mean, there's tons of different gauges, but the two most popular hands down are going to be 20-gauge and 12-gauge. And especially important to know if you're not a big shotgun person that 20-gauge rounds are always yellow. It's a universal truth. They are yellow. All the holes are yellow. Doesn't matter whether birdshot, buckshot, slug, whatever, they're always yellow. And then 12-gauge are all of those colors that you want, but never yellow.
But never yellow, yeah.
They can be all the colors, but never yellow. You look at 12-gauge rounds, it's a billion different colors. You look at 20-gauge, they're all yellow. So that's a good designation. But like when Drew got involved with the shotgun, you know, when we first got together, I'm like, all right, you're gonna take the shotgun class. I want you to learn how to use a shotgun. So I gave her the 12-gauge pump. You know, Drew's not a huge person. She's strong. She's not big. She fired, what was that, Drew? Maybe 30 minutes in the class. She's like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. And it was like, okay, well, let me pull out the 20-gauge youth shotguns because the kids like to at least shoot that. You know, they'll shoot a few rounds at them. I'm like, let me try this. Well, she runs that thing for a while, and she's like, fuck this. I don't want to do this anymore either, because with a pump shotgun, all that energy is being diverted. Now, it's not knocking her over, flipping her backwards, any of that bullshit that you see online because we're teaching her how to use it effectively, but it's pretty abusive. So I'm like, okay, last gun I want you to try. It's a lighter weight because, of course, the gun is also just fucking heavy to hold up, especially when it's loaded with all that forward-loaded ammo. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, here's a lighter weight gun to start with, semi-auto, my Beretta 1301, which I think the Beretta 1301 is the ultimate semi-auto shotgun. I don't think there's anything better than it based on my experience. And I'm like, try this because some of that energy is going to be rediverted into the action and the gun overall is lighter. And she ran the class, or she ran the whole rest of the day with that semi-auto. Now, she still doesn't love the shotgun.
Nope.
But at least she was willing to run the whole rest of the day with that semi-auto. So sometimes that's something to consider, too. If you want this gun to potentially be used by lots of other people, let's say family members, spouses, whatever, you may consider what you're going to hand them. Because what you're about to hand someone, when you hand someone a manually operated pump shotgun, is the heaviest, most painful on both ends, most difficult to operate. And this is what I mean by most difficult to operate. Pretty much the only real mechanical malfunctions that we see with a pump action shotgun are user induced.
Yeah.
Short stroking the action, not going all the way back, not going all the way forward.
Yeah.
It's because it's heavy, it's long, right? We have to manipulate that. It's a lot to ask someone to do. I can hand my kid an AR in the house to go, yeah, here's fucking rack the charging handle, take 30, the safety off.
30 bullets.
You got 30 rounds, dude. Put the red dot on the thing you want to kill. Keep pressing the trigger until it goes away, you know?
Yeah.
Shotgun's a lot more to it than that. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, keep shooting till you're out of ammo, and then you have to reload them one at a time. You know, it's like, yeah, there's a lot there, and the ammo's heavy and everything else. So there's definitely considerations. And I think that saying that the shotgun is the ultimate home defense gun is ridiculous. I don't agree.
Yeah.
Are we looking at energy on target? Yeah.
It's not even close.
Pretty fucking amazing. as Clint Smith from Thunder Ranch says, you know, the difference between everything else and a shotgun is a shotgun removes parts of people's bodies. And that is fucking true. Yeah. I think we'll take chunks out of people. Oh, yeah. You know,
you're not going to the ER.
One of our clients who's one of the main trauma surgeons here in the Phoenix area, and he'll come out and train with us sometimes. And we ask him when he's in class, he always likes to give a little ballistics demonstration because he sees lots and lots of gunshots all the fucking time. He's always working on them and, fixing them. And so we ask him, you know, what's the hardest ones to fix? And of course, it's in the vertical stripe, which is where we teach. Like, he's like, yeah, those I can't fix. And it was like, okay, a handgun. He's like, usually handgun rounds, this is how he's described it to us in the past. He said, handgun rounds, when people are shot with handgun rounds, they usually walk into the hospital.
Like 95%, he said, yeah.
And they walk in the hospital.
Yeah.
And a few days later, they walk out.
Yeah.
He's like, when rifle wounds come in, they typically get carried in the hospital, and they may or may not ever leave the hospital. He's like, we don't ever see any shotgun wounds.
Literally. I mean, he's been just for years.
Yeah, he's like,
never seen a shotgun.
He's like, literally, we get like some accidental peppered by birdshot while hunting type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, that kind of shit. Yeah, I've dealt with a few of those. He's like, but anyone who's like directly confronted with a shotgun and shot at close range, they just go straight to the fucking morgue.
Yep.
We don't see those. I can't tell you the last time I ever cleaned one up.
Yeah.
You know? And he's the main trauma surgeon at one of the main gunshot-related trauma centers here. And their specialty is gunshot wounds. And he's there. I mean, he works on gunshot wounds all the fucking time.
And he wasn't like, even – he didn't even stutter. He's like, yeah, I never see
shotguns. Yeah, I never see those. Never see shotgun.
Never seen a shotgun.
So the point is that these are decisive tools. but they're very deliberate tools. Mm-hmm. You have to be very specific and deliberate with them.
What I also like about the shotgun personally is it's first of all, these like grandpas, great-grandfathers, mm-hmm. we pass these weapons down because mm-hmm. they last. Because mm-hmm. there's not the refined aspect that there may be with an AR or a handgun. Mm-hmm. There's no rifling in
the moving parts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a tube. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you wear out a tube? I guess eventually if you shot enough through it, but even then it's still going to shoot fine. It just mm-hmm. may not be as accurate. And then, yeah, with the pump, there's just not a lot of mechanics to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Even with the semis, we see some issues with operation, but as long as you have to clean them a little bit more often, but just there's just not as much to mess with. There's not as much to wear out on a shotgun. And so being able to maintain them is the easiest of the three that we teach.
And that's what's really nice about the shotgun is that there's very, very minimal moving parts. So there's very minimal maintenance. There's very minimal stuff that's going to break. You know. Now, in a semi-auto, I will take that back a little bit. And a semi-auto shotgun is one of the dirtiest motherfucking guns that you're ever going to shoot because shotgun shells just use – they're not efficient at how they burn their powder. And so they're very dirty. And the gas system in most semi-auto shotguns just gets super nasty. I mean like literally every 200 to 300 rounds you need to be cleaning your semi-auto shotgun. Otherwise it's going to start to have problems. Mm-hmm. And semi-auto shotguns are a lot more picky with ammo because every single one of them requires a different amount of inertia in order to load and feed the round.
Yep.
And so you know they're very picky with ammo. A pump action, you put anything in there. It doesn't matter. But a semi-auto is very picky. It needs a certain amount of energy, usually measured in speed and weight of the projectile in order to operate, where you're not going to see that as much with a pump action. You are going to have to do more maintenance with them, but doing maintenance on them is so fucking easy.
Yeah.
You just pull it apart, wipe down the gas system, lube the moving parts, put it back together, and boom, you're up for another few hundred rounds. You know, it's very minimal. Like you're not really cleaning the barrel. You know, you don't have to worry about rifling. And of course, unless you have a rifled shotgun barrel, which makes them even more versatile now, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you've got, you know, the slugs that are fired, the non-rifled slugs that are fired out of rifled shotgun barrels. I mean, you got guys killing big game animals at 250 yards with these things.
It's
crazy. Like it's
having enough energy at that distance.
And then literally take the barrel off, put back on your barrel, your smooth bore, and go bird hunting. It's like such a versatile tool.
Well, and one of the things I've discovered – that makes it – it's versatile, but it's also can be a bit cumbersome is because I have semi-autos and I have pumps, while all my semi-auto ammo will work in my pumps, I've got to have very specific ammo for my semi-autos, right? I've got to have – where I can run anything through my pump. I do have to make sure that I keep the ammo I use for my semi-autos a little bit separate so that I have three different versions of that, bird, buck, and slug, and then also the same for my – you know, and I could do it all of the higher level, but the problem is the cost is involved now because I'm buying a higher powered shell for my semis, which I don't need for my pump. So then I'm like, well, do I want to buy cheaper stuff for my pump and have that stored? Now I've literally got six different cases of ammo.
And it's big ammo.
Yeah.
So it takes up a ton of fucking room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a downside to shotguns.
Right.
You know, for sure. And ammo's used to be relatively inexpensive, definitely gone up in price. I mean, buckshot slugs, decent stuff's going to run you a dollar or more a piece.
Yeah. And then also you have all of the other options, like you said, non-lethals. You've got minis. You've got, you know, all of these other options that you can look into if you want.
Dragon's breath.
Dragon's breath.
Yeah. Can confirm we'll start a fire in the desert.
Yeah.
A big one. Real fucking big. You got to work real hard to put it out, so I heard.
What was that one shell they had this last time, that non-lethal?
Oh, that armor – well, I had an armor-piercing round. Oh, you're talking about – those weren't – that wasn't a shotgun.
Oh, okay.
That was out of 37-millimeter launchers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the batons. Those are batons out of 37-millimeter launcher. No, the they have the armor-piercing 12-gauge slugs.
Yeah.
A student brought those, and we shot a level 3 ceramic plate with it, and then I bought some. I was like, what the fuck? I got to get me some of those. Holy shit. Now, I will say it did not go all the way through the ceramic plate.
No.
But it destroyed it. If you're ever at the office and you want to see it, I literally brought it back to the office.
Which I was impressed it didn't go through.
But it's a velocity issue at that point, right? It can't penetrate through all that. Yeah. But how much energy it delivers.
Yeah, you don't want to take that in the chest.
It just destroyed the whole top section of the plate with one shot. And the back face deformation was, sticking out I don't know, a half inch or more. Oh, not quite that much. It was about a half to three quarters of an inch sticking out. And then that is all that energy being redistributed into your chest cavity. Like, that is going to jelly your guts. I mean, that would be so – if you survived, the recovery would just be
– yeah.
God, just awful.
Even if your heart survives.
Oh, my God. It was just wow. And that's always been everything that, you know, you see with the shotgun. It's just like, whoa. You know, that is a lot of power. And there, again, being versatility, like I do a lot of my predator hunting with a basic pump action shotgun. And it's, you know, I think 24-inch old Remington 870, nothing special. And I run an extra full choke in it with 3-inch number 4 buck, which is 41 pellets. And I can kill coyotes at pretty regularly 50 to 55 yards. I've killed them beyond that, but I'll kind of call that a fluke. But pretty regularly out to 50.
Yeah.
You know, so that's impressive.
Which is a good
like
poke,
that's a buckshot out to 50 yards.
Yeah, buckshot.
You know, killing a, you know, 30-pound, 40-pound animal.
Not a big animal, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's – again, there's so much you can do with it. There's just so much you can do with it. So, you know, you – now, the downside to having it, and I think everyone should have one, is then the versatility of being able to hand it over to someone else, right? Like, Drew, I want to get your opinion on this. Like, from a lady's perspective and running the shotgun – now, we have plenty of women come through the shotgun class over the years, but I will definitely say – that by and large, the shotgun classes are sausage fests. There are very few ladies who want to come through that.
Right.
We've got a couple gals who enjoy it and they want to run it, but that's few and far between. So from that lady's perspective, imagine someone hands you that pump shotgun for the very first time and is like, okay, honey, this is what I want you to defend the house with.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah, you fire one round and what's going to happen next?
She's going to drop the gun.
Yeah, she's like not interested in this shit.
You definitely have to take a female out and have her practice it. I don't know about doing a full day course that we offer right away. I think that I would do only a couple hours because running a shotgun all day long is brutal. It hurts if you're not prepared for it. So I think that having them at least get out and get comfortable and getting them into the right gun and not putting an inappropriate sized shotgun for a tiny person. So.
And then you've got the issue of it's like handing – it's like it's the same thing we see with like our ladies' AR classes. Someone hands them a gun and like we have – just like Dave was talking last week about, you know, the silly handguns that people give people in like CCW classes. Well, we see the same thing with an AR. You know, they send the woman to the AR class, the wife or the girlfriend or mom or whatever, and they go, here, use my AR.
And it's a boat anchor.
Fucking boat anchor. And then and now the lady can't even hold it up and she can't shoot it. So she's not having a good time. She can't hold it up. Now she's got her stance is all fucked up. She's trying to support the gun with like her body, but she can't. So she's leaning back and her arms are all fucked up. And she can't. She's not having a good time. Well, that's the same problem that we have with the shotgun is because it is long and it is heavy. It's not just something I can hand to someone who's not functionally or strength-wise ready for that to hold this thing up and blast with it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to get fucking tired and they're going to get beat up and they're not going to want to do it. So that is a good time to look at some of the smaller guns. You know, 20-gauge versus 12, like, yeah, there's obviously a difference because, you know, there's different amount of power charge and shells and all – or a shot and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think there's so much difference that it's like, whoa, that's a 20 and that's a 12. Wow, what a huge difference.
No, I don't think there's
still a fucking
difference.
Shotgun.
I think a lot of it, too, though, is the way that men allow women to shoot the gun. If their stance is fucked up and they're leaning back a lot, it's going to knock them over.
Well,
I mean, how many videos have you seen out there of women shooting shotguns and they either fall over or drop the gun?
And that's a blind leading the blind problem.
Yes.
You've got guys who don't know what they're doing. And unfortunately, because shotguns are so prevalent, like Dave was saying, you got grandpas and everybody else, you know, passing the shotgun down. Because they are so prevalent and fucking every American household has one or ought to, then when people go out shooting, that's often the gun that gets handed out. Here, honey, you shoot this. And then she shoots it and everyone laughs. Ha ha, yeah, that's so fucking powerful. And it's like, yeah, but now you haven't done anything.
You've just ruined
effective.
That. Yeah.
Now they don't want to shoot anymore.
And then when you hand it to them and be like, you have to defend the house, the first thing they're going to remember is that first memory of pulling that trigger and be like, fuck that. I'm not using this thing.
And getting blasted.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that is one thing about the shotgun I think is a very important thing to remember is who else might need to use it. So like for me personally, in our home, my shotgun is one of my go-to guns. But in the same safe from Secure It, not fucking Liberty, all right, in my same safe with my shotgun is also a compact AR. You know, I've got a nice shorty little AR with a nice little shorty suppressor on it, a basic red dot, because now that's something I can hand to Drew, I can hand to the kids, and I can go, here, you can run this with no problem. Even if they're sick, if they're tired, if they're freaked out, whatever, like, they can run this little gun. And if needed, you know, I'll take that shotgun. And of course, it's threat specific, right? If I was going up against people with body armor, I can't imagine a scenario where I'd be doing that. But if I was going up against people with body armor who are trying to come into my home illegally and unconstitutionally, then I might have to have something that's more geared as an AR. But at that point in time, no problem. Again, I've got that setup available. But the shotgun, I mean, look, I don't care if you're wearing body armor or not. I know where to shoot you where you're not armored. And a shotgun will straight up take your dick right off your fucking body. So remember that.
Yeah, it's nasty.
But the point being is, like, there are a lot of great benefits to the shotgun. Don't overlook them.
And definitely, if this has brought you into a curiosity about this, not – again, I can't speak to every shotgun class, but get some training. Go with someone who's going to show you not just, okay, here's how I shoot birds with it, or here's how I shoot clay targets, but – that's what I love about what Glenn teaches with the practical shotgun is it's here's all of the uses. Here's the whole encompassing aspect to this weapon and all of the things to consider. Literally, we sit and talk about the shotgun for 3 hours before we ever even shoot it, just mm-hmm. because there's so much information that people don't realize.
Yeah, with handguns and ARs, we're like, all right, guys, safety briefing. Here's what we're going to cover, 30, 45 minutes at max. Boom, we're on the range, right? Yeah. Maybe some people have some questions about a doodad or a thingamabob, but boom, we're on the range, rocking and rolling. Shotguns, yeah, it's literally like, man, we've been standing around, and no one's bored because they're still asking questions about what about this, what about that? We are cutting open shells. They're like, I've never even fucking seen this before. You know, we're comparing different types of wads and different chokes and different guns, and then they get out there and we start shooting the slugs and the buckshot and the patterning and, the point of aim, point of impact shift with slugs, and they're just like, what the fuck? Yeah. You know, I had no idea. So if you look at the shotgun as a very practical approach to things, if you look at it from a very practical approach to things, then you're going to see the benefits of it. And it was like when I used to shoot three-gun competitions, which are less and less prevalent these days because of the shotgun. Everyone wants two-gun because carbine and handgun is easy. You know, when three-gun was at its peak, and I think it's kind of on the decline these days, but most guys didn't want to have anything to do with the shotgun. So they didn't like shooting. They were like, oh, God, we have a shotgun stage? Fuck. You know, whereas like for me, when the shotgun stage came up, I'm like, fuck. Yes, I'm going to make up some points right here. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, I can do my changeovers and I can do my round selection. I understand my gun and I know how to run it and I know what my max distances are. And there's a lot that you can do with a shotgun you just can't do with any other weapon system.
And it's more intellectual. You have to think about what, you know.
Yeah. How many rounds do I have left? What's coming up next? If I put the shell in like this, does that bring it up next? If I put the shell in like this, what's going to be after it? You know, there's a lot
constant
going on.
Loading, mm-hmm. which we don't do with other weapon systems.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not shooting it, you're loading it. Yeah. We're not constantly changing magazines and magazine-fed weapon systems, though, of course, we do, you know, teach and recommend magazine exchanges and ammunition management. It's not a constant thing that you're doing. Yeah. Shotgun is a constant ammo management. If you are not shooting it, you are loading it.
Feed it. Yeah, feed that beast.
So hopefully this has made you think a little bit about shotguns. And getting one and using them. And if you don't have any training with a shotgun, well, come check out either our practical shotgun class, which sadly we only get to teach about once or twice a year because it's just not very popular, or come do some private training with us. We'll teach you all about shotguns. Or look up some of the stuff we've posted on, you know, Instagram or whatever and do a little shooting and work on your own. Great tools, shotguns. So that being said, fitness moment with Drew. Her first fitness moment with Drew. Go ahead.
So what I wanted to share with today was because it is so hot and brutal in Arizona right now, I want to share water intake because it's something that people have a misconception with. They go by the things that are posted and say, oh, you know, depending if you're male or female, typically females have to drink 64 ounces of water, where males are around 80 to 90 ounces of water a day. But they're not calculating a person who's active. And they're also not calculating for the environment that somebody's in. Somebody who's in a higher humidity state is going to lose more water because they're sweating out more water than they are in kind of a drier state like we are. So when you're calculating your water intake, it's also off of how much you weigh. So when you're doing these calculations, you have to intake for everything. So typically, I normally try to strive for about 90 to 100 ounces a day for water intake, which is a lot of water. And I always recommend people to have the water app. I think it's called iWater. It's just an app. It's not an Apple app. It's just an iWater app. And it's a free app, and you can actually intake your water. And it doesn't just have to be regular water. It can be coffee. It can be tea. It can be the protein shakes. It can be the supplements that you add into your water for hydration. So all of those things can be added in there. I would stay away definitely from sodas just because they drain more water than they put water into you. So really be self-aware of the water intake when you are wanting to exercise. And if that's, you know, exercising and then running on top of it, that's more water that needs to be added as well. So definitely be looking and thinking. If you feel that you are thirsty, you're probably already dehydrated.
Thirst is indeed the first sign of dehydration, as we teach our students.
Yeah, so definitely be aware that if you're planning on doing any high physical activity, maybe you have a race or something like that coming up, or training event that's going to be pretty brutal, it's a couple days before prep for your water intake, not the day before or day of.
Dehydration is, I would say, the number one injury that we have in every single class. You know, it's going to happen. If you're in a hot environment, you're outside, you're being active, it's going to happen. If you're not staying on top of it, once you start getting dehydrated, it's very hard to get back on top of it. So it's better to just stay hydrated than it is to try to catch up once you start getting dehydrated. And I can tell you that from personal experience.
And it causes a lot of injuries. You know, pulled muscles, strains, sprains, things like that are all based off of dehydration, not properly hydrating.
So remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email. info@trainingaz.com is how you can get information about hosting us in your area. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, MRC Phoenix, and Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale and Premier Martial Arts Peoria. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Please be sure to check out all of the awesome services that HMG offers. Next week, we're going to be talking about functional fitness, being in shape. It's not going to be a fat shame, all right?
That was it will totally be.
Listen,
fat.
It won't. I will do the fat shame. You guys can talk about functional fitness. I will shame people. All right, but really, we are going to be talking about functional fitness and what that means and how to really kind of continue to be, quote unquote, in shape and what even that means. So until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.